Huh? Oh, well, junior church is going to have to go. They know what to do. They know where they're going. Let me get organized here. Romans chapter 7, and the wording in the KJV is, you have to pay attention to follow it, but I'll clear it up for you just a little bit in a second, but listen closely. Chapter 7, verse 15, Apostle Paul writing, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is I, no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, for the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning. I pray for each one here, each heart, each mind. We'll be open, receptive to your word. Lord, help us. Lord, speak to us. Lord, we know apart from you, nothing's accomplished, nothing's done. Lord, and I pray for that one or more that may be here lost today. Lord, they'll see their need of calling on you for salvation. And we put the whole service into your hands this morning. In Jesus' name, I pray. So Paul was saying there, basically what he was saying, the way I would say it, redneck style. You know, the things that I don't want to do, I find that's what I'm doing. The things that I want to do, the good things that I want to do, because this is a saved man, this is a man that has the Spirit of God in him. The things that I want to do, he said, I find that I'm not doing. He said, I got this battle going on. Y'all been saved very long. If you've been saved very long, you know this, man. You said, man, I'm not getting it done. He said, what's going on? Now listen, the last verse, he's not saying, listen, that it's okay to sin. Well, with my mind, I'm serving God, and with my flesh, I'm serving sin. He's not saying that's the route to go, but he also shows deliverance in Jesus Christ. And so this message here really goes along with last week's, and I'm going to introduce it that way with that one in here in just a second. And when we get to that, but I think it's a companion verse or message for last week's message. This one's called Decisions, Decisions, Decisions is the title of the message. So we see a conflict that after we're saved, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us. We also have the flesh, the sin nature still lives. It's still there. Now, it's crucified with Christ. We have to reckon that. We have to know that. But we still deal with it. And we deal with it every day. And we will until the Lord comes back or we go home to be with Him. And so, as I said, Paul's saying, I'm doing that which I don't want to do. I'm doing what I hate to do. I'm doing it. And that what I should do. I want to do. I'm not doing that. And so, we see that we know that we have a will, right? There's a will. Man has a will. I mean, God, we're made in the image of God. Does God have a will? He does. Is God sovereign? He is. Does he have thought? He does. We're made in his image, not physically, but characteristically. So we have the same thing. And so we have this will within ourselves. And so we've got a will, but then we've got what's called the flesh, the natural man, the natural will, the natural desires that we find that is going on. As a saved person, we struggle right here. This is where the battle begins. See, when we're lost, we don't have a conflict with the Spirit because we don't have a spiritual life. It's just the flesh. We don't have a conflict. But when you're saved, you're thinking, oh, brother, I don't want to get saved because now I'm going to have a battle. Oh, listen, you can have the victory, though. Don't worry about that. You can have the victory. And so I got this will that's going on within me. I can't do what my mind wants me to do because of that. And Paul said, you can't do it in your own strength, is what he's basically saying right there. And so we see that within the believer, we've got the flesh and the spirit, and there's a war going on. And you don't have to be saved a very long time to know that there's a battlefield that goes on. We get this, our conscience, and man, our flesh is wanting to do, and we got this battle. And like I said, it's a good verse for last week. Last week, I preached about the exchange life. This is what Christianity is. I love this Galatians 2:20. That's the verse I write. I do woodcraft and everything I write Galatians 2:20 on the back. That verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Not I, but Christ that lived within me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said this. Paul wrote this. He had to learn this. He said, I'm crucified with Christ, yet I live. Here's the little parts you can hold on to. Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. It's always him. I don't live. The life that I now live in the faith, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Why? How can I live by his faith? Well, you can't live by yours. You're crucified. You're dead. I live, not I, but Christ lives within me now. This is what Paul, he's getting to this. You know, he's talking about that. And then I talked about the sanctification process. The sanctification process does not take place in our flesh. God does not sanctify our flesh. He crucifies. The flesh was crucified with Christ. Now, you got to reckon it. You don't know it. If you don't know it, you don't know it, but it's crucified. So what happens is sanctification takes place in the mind. Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2 tells us that be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that word prove means this, that we, it means doing it, you know, showing it. It's shown forth in our life. So we prove it. It's proof. So a renewed mind, that's what we need to know. Knowledge, man. Knowledge is, you know, when we know the Word of God, we know God. When we know God personally, we know Jesus Christ personally, it changes our mind. And we start, and we prove that. It's shown in our life. It's shown in the life of a real saved person. I mean, a truly born-again child of God. Repentance. So repentance begins in the mind as well. God doesn't do anything with the flesh as far as renewing the flesh. He gives us his spirit. The flesh is crucified. It's the mind and the heart. God has, and they're closely related, the mind and the heart. But the heart is deceitful above, desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. No man can know the heart. We know that. Out of it proceed lies, everything. It comes from the heart. So the mind and the heart, God, they work together. Now, we can't do anything in the flesh. We can't even do anything for God. God can do something through us, but you can't do anything for God. Why? Because we don't have the power. So we have, you know, born again, we have the power. We have to have, it's Christ. It's in the exchange life, you will see that it's Christ. It's not us. We can't, God can do something through you, but you can't do anything for God. It's a difference. There's a difference there. Christ living us, his life for mine, that's it. This ends the struggle. It ends the war. It ends the battle when you know it's him. Man, just surrender. Now we have a will. We still have a will. I'm going to talk to you about that in a minute. We've got the old nature. The old man still lives. The old nature's there. That's why it says take up your cross daily. What do you do with a cross? You crucify something on it. Well, you're going to crucify your flesh. Get up every day and said, look in the mirror and say, you're dead. You are dead and Christ is alive in me. And that's what God's talking about right there. The flesh is at war with the spirit now that God resides in us. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Decision, decision, decision. Now, this is from a saved person's point of view. This is as a saved person. But if you're not saved, you can understand this. The very first point is just choices. Like, God has a will. I said that, right? We're made in God's image. We have a will, right? We can make a choice every day. Y'all made a choice to show up here today, right? I guess. Nobody made you come, force you. We made a choice. All right? As a saved person, I brought this up one time. Do we have a will as a saved person? Yeah, everybody's got a will. Do we always do what God wants us to do? Huh? All right, if we don't have a will that operates apart from God, then we would, like I said, but we would never have a negative or positive command in the Bible. Why have it? If God was just going to make you do it, We wouldn't need the Word of God. You just get saved, and guess what? You're automatically going to do the will of God. But how many of us as saved people have done opposite of what God wanted us to do? Go ahead and bob your head up and down and raise your hand, right? We did that. All right, so was God willing that you do that? I mean, let's just call it what it is. Let me get right down to brass. How many of you have sinned since you've been saved? Okay. Does God want you to sin? God had a different will, didn't he? Remember Jesus in Gethsemane? Jesus, as a human, totally God, but totally human. He said, Father, he said, if it's possible that this cup could pass, nevertheless, not my will, which means he had a will, and I don't blame him. He didn't want to go to the cross, but he said, thy will be done. Nevertheless, that will. So if we've all sinned since salvation, and we have, if you haven't sinned, you're lying, and that's a sin, so caught you there. Right? We've all sinned. It wasn't in God's will. We acted independently of God's will. We can still do it. We can still do it. And so we've got these choices. You know, I mean, and then just everyday thing. What you going to put on? What you going to wear? What you going to drive? What time you going to do this? What time you going to eat lunch? Whatever you do. What you eat? What you drink? Now, there's a lot of choices that we make everyday physical things that have nothing to do with our moral conscience. In other words, it's not a choice between doing right and wrong. It's just the things like I just talked about, which right and wrong could fall into any category, I suppose. But let's just, for the sake of this deal, say on the things that we wouldn't like, you know, which car are we going to take to church? What are we going to put on? Where are we going to eat for lunch after church is over with? Probably on your mind now, but forget about that. You know, those kind of things. They don't have anything to do with moral conscience or consciences. Not concerned with those things right there. But all of us will come to a crossroads in our life, maybe more than one, maybe more than one a day at times, where it's a place of conflict, right and wrong. See what I'm saying? We're at this place where we can make a choice. Now listen, I'm talking about from a saved person's point of view. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You're going to come to this. Everybody else will too, but I'll speak about that conflict between the flesh and the spirit in a minute. Let me use an illustration like this. A Christian man is driving down the road in his car. He comes to an intersection in the road. He can turn right and go to his wife and family, or he can turn left and go to the bar that he used to hang out with and get drunk in before he was saved. He comes to that intersection. Now there's conflict going on. Now if you ever, you know, been in something in your life where you had that conflict, I could give you a good illustration. I'm debating in my mind while I'm talking to you whether I should tell you or not. But you struggle with something and you get to that point and it's just like, here it is. That's it. He has the will. He can go either way. He's got the Holy Spirit of God. This is a saved man. Got the Holy Spirit of God. He can go home to his wife and family. He can go to a place where sin more than likely will be committed. He can go that way. He's got a will on it. The Spirit's leading him that way. The flesh is leading him that way. And I'm going to tell you something about your flesh. It never leads you the right way. It never leads you the right way. It's leading them that way. Now, any of you, you've been saved a very long time. I don't know what your background is. Could have been drugs, alcohol, whatever, pornography. Man, I mean, that's rampant. You got that as a saved person. You get to that, man, there's that mental battle, man. This is what, you know, fasting in the Bible. I've shared this with you. If you ever fasted, this is what it's teaching you to do. Somebody leave me like, I ain't never done that. Because, you know, fasting means not eating. What? and I've done it. And I've done it, you know, and here's what happens. 1 minute, man, you're not thinking about it. It's not bothering you, everything. It teaches you how to resist sin. And the next minute, all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's a pack of peanut butter crackers in there on the counter. And you haven't eaten in a day and a half or two. And all of a sudden, it's like, God doesn't say, hey, you've got to fast. You've got to fast this amount of time. It's just something that you're doing. You got a will. You can stop it any minute you want to, any second. You never notice how many food commercials are on TV until you've been fasting for 2 or 3 days. A cheeseburger pops up, man. I'll give you a little joke there, lighten up the atmosphere. You know how when you see the menu at a restaurant, the food looks so good. That cheeseburger looks like the perfect cheeseburger. Fries all laying there. This man went into a restaurant one time and saw the menu, looked really good. He saw something. He said, I'll have this. Looks great. The waitress brings it out. He ate the meal. Wasn't that good? Waitress comes out. How'd you like the meal? He said, give my compliments to the photographer. This is the way it is. It looks really good. But boy, if you're fasting, you see that, man, it's this and that. Maybe I'll quit today. But you've already made your mind up. See, if I do it, I'll set my mind. I'm going to fast this long, 2 days, whatever. And I'm on day one, man, and then food commercials are coming up. See, when you learn to say no right there, if you can't say no to your stomach, you can't say no to nothing else probably either. It's because it's what? The flesh, right? You got to learn how to say it. Anyway, that's no extra charge for that. Side little lesson. So we have a will. God has given us that will because we're made in the image of God, so we can make a decision to go right or left. We can do that. I talked about this to you before. And at the same time, the moral conscience that we have now that is quickened, which means made alive, is made alive by the Holy Spirit of God living within this hypothetical man and within us, the real man, is pulling in the opposite direction to telling us to go the opposite way of God's will. Now, look, some of you are probably thinking, I don't know, you know, but some people may think, well, I never had that problem right there. That's probably because you're going the way of the flesh all the time, so you don't feel the conflict as much as, you know, you just gave up, right? You just went the other way. That probably happens. So we've been there. We know that. We've got these choices to do. Now, here's the thing about it with God. Now, this is deep stuff right here. There's people that wouldn't agree with what I'm going to say. Probably none of you, but there are people that wouldn't agree with what I'm going to say. In spite of God's omniscience, God limits himself in his relationship to us by the law of faith. See, there's the operating principle. I got to hold that point there because I'll tell you this. You know, salvation, that one of the hinges is faith. When you look in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith chapter, by faith they did this, by faith they did that, by faith, they didn't do it outside of faith. And we're saved by grace. Sure, it's the grace of God, unmerited favor from God. We're saved by grace, but through faith. There's got to be faith. There's an operating principle. So God, in his omniscience, he limits his own self in his relationship to us by the law of faith. He never violates, listen to this, the sovereignty of your will. Now, that's a strong word. You think, oh, we have a sovereign will? Sure you do. Man, before salvation, listen, man is a sovereign being. We rule the roost. We're on the throne of our life. And a lot of Christian people still struggle with this. You're sitting on the throne of your life. We're sovereign. We decide. We say, yeah, nobody's telling me what to do. And we're sovereign. Listen, but that will hadn't changed. We still got that. So he never violates the sovereignty of your will, nor deprive you of your responsibility to choice. In other words, God don't make you do it. That's the redneck translation. God doesn't make you do it, right? God wants you to do it, but God doesn't. I mean, he gives you inclination. He gives you he draws you. He encourages there, but he doesn't force you to do it. He doesn't just push you out the door. I mean, he may take like Jonah. Listen, we'd have a prayer meeting. If a whale swallowed us, we'd be having a prayer meeting. But God still didn't make Jonah do it. God just didn't say, Jonah, you're going to do it like a robot, and that's it. You're going to go preach to the Ninevites. Jonah didn't want to go. He's going the other way. God encouraged him by the circumstances. He got on a ship. They had a bad storm. They threw him over in the water. The whale swallowed him. He's in the belly of a whale. I don't know about you, but I'd be a praying fool in the belly of a whale, right? But Jonah still could have said no, and you think, well, did anybody say, yeah, there's people that's hard-headed enough, they still said no. Jonah changed his mind. God changed his mind with the circumstance, but not everybody does. So it's the same way. Listen, if we don't have choice, choice enables us to love God. Now, here's another thing. God don't make you love Him. He doesn't make you love. How can you make somebody love you? I mean, you could try, right? But you could do everything in your power. Buy them flowers if it's a man and a woman. Don't buy me flowers if you're a man. You could buy them flowers, take them out to dinner, talk sweet and all that. Did y'all ever try that? Did y'all ever have a girlfriend, boyfriend, man, you just liked them so much you tried everything to get them like you and they just wouldn't love you, right? Does that ever happen? Broke your heart, didn't it? You really can't make somebody love you. You can try to love them. You can love them. But doesn't mean they're going to love you back. We know that, right, in life. Everybody, if you hadn't experienced that, you will. You will. Okay, so you can't really do it. And God doesn't do it either. God doesn't say, listen, I'm going to make you love me. Matter of fact, I know that I don't love God like I should. And I pray to God every day, God, help me love you more. Because I don't know. I know I can't do it in my own strength. Not love God like I should. Not Zoe, you know, or that's life, the life of God. But no, I can't love that way. So choice enables us to love God. You are free to say yes at any given moment. Nothing else in creation has the capacity to love God. The animals. Matter of fact, choice and love are two things that separate us from the animal kingdom. We're unique in that way. God made us that way. Nothing else has the capacity to do that because nothing else has the capacity to choose Him, to choose God. Animals do what they do because they have the instinct. It's an instinct. They don't have abstract thought like we do. God put that in us. This is the will. This is the will that works. Galatians 5:17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Paul just got done talking about it, what I read in my text. He was talking about that. Why? Because the spirit and the flesh have different appetites. The flesh always wants to do wrong. It always wants to do immoral things. It's the spirit that always wants to do right. It's the flesh is always looking for something unclean, unholy. Well, we look at the world we live in today, the things that we see, I couldn't name them all. You know, just the immorality, the hate, the murder, the child abuse, that movie they got going on about sex trafficking, for crying out loud. Stuff, all that, how it's in the heart of man. It is in the heart of man. It's in the flesh side. It's in the heart of man. It comes from there. That's what the flesh wants to do. The spirit always desires that which is holy, pure, in God's will. Paul was talking about it. That I would, I do not. The spirit was wanting him to do. And he couldn't do it in his own strength. That's why, back to last week's message in Galatians 2:20, crucify the flesh. It's my life is dead. It's his life for mine. I'm exchanging my life for the life of Christ. Now I can do it. Now I can do it. I can't do it in my own strength. How do I know? Because I tried for most of my Christian life. I got saved when I was 33 years old. I'm going to be 68 next year. Next month I'll be 68 years old. And most of my Christian life, I tried to do it in my own strength and I failed all the time. I would sit in church and think, man, I have got to be the worst Christian in here. And this is not prideful humility saying this. This is the truth. I would think, man, if they knew what I thought, if they knew what I did, then I found out what they was thinking and doing. I thought, it wasn't so bad. You know, it was bad. It was all bad. It's no wonder there's a conflict when we see the difference between the flesh and the spirit. We can overcome our flesh. We can't overcome it with our will alone. That's what Paul talked about. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. There's a positive command. If you walk in the Spirit, that's a will. That's a choice, right? You got a choice to walk in the Spirit, right? That's an act of the will. You got to walk in the Spirit. That means we can. Not the unsaved man. The saved man. He has the Holy Spirit. He can. He has the power within. I was reading this thing this morning about this. It's like if you got an engine, if you got a car going down the road and it's got a real cool engine, and you got that four-speed transmission, you go up through the gears, and you go flying down the road, you say, boy, that is an awesome engine, right? How many of you say that's an awesome clutch? Not when you're just feeling the power. You might have a good clutch. If you got a good motor, you better have a good clutch. That's an awesome. You don't say that's an awesome clutch. You say it's an awesome engine. The power is Christ himself. Huh? The clutch, though, is what connects the two. What is it? It's faith. It's faith is the clutch. That's what connects the two together. And God gives you that. So we see the choice in the will. Not a will apart from God's influence, but the will under God's influence. The power within by the Holy Spirit. So when we get to the intersection, you can turn right. See, I'll tell you what, I already got it figured out. You better figure out you're turning right before you get to the intersection. You get it right then. Don't wait and get decide when you get there, right? Last week, I remember this. I spoke about the renewed mind from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, having a renewed mind. That's knowledge. The victory over the flesh is gotten. It has to do with our attitude towards Jesus Christ. And that's an inward thing. It's influenced by knowledge, the life we share with him. So our attitude or how we get the victory of the flesh has to do with that. Romans 6:11 says, likewise, reckon. Reckon's a hillbilly term. It's in the Bible. Likewise, reckon. This is where the hillbillies got it, though. And reckon means know it, to know it. I reckon. I know. I reckon. I believe it. I know it. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon it, knowing it. You're dead to sin. Just reckon it. Believe it. He said it's done, past tense, so it's done. Now, the old flesh wants to compromise. Satan's pretty slick. The old flesh is slick. It deals, you know, the flesh is, listen, this sounds strong, but it's true. The flesh is satanically hostile to the law of God. The flesh will do anything to reestablish sovereignty within you to be on the throne. The flesh is doing all it can. It can't do it in the life of the believer, but it tries. And so if it can't establish sovereignty, it does the next best thing, and that's compromise. And we find ourselves trying to live peaceably with or coexist with the flesh instead of crucifying the flesh, like that's what God does. And we start making excuses for the flesh. Oh, it's not that bad. At least I don't fill in the blank. Nobody's going to know. It's not hurting anybody but me. I'm only going to do this one thing, and I'm not going to do nothing else. I'm only going to have this one pet sin. I'm not doing nothing else. You're compromising with the flesh. That you're trying to work out a compromise so you don't have to crucify the flesh. Because the flesh, listen, Jesus said this, Satan cannot cast out Satan. A house divided against itself cannot stand. The flesh cannot throw flesh out. In your flesh, you cannot throw your flesh out. Only the Spirit. Spirit drives them out. God has to do it. And so if we try to compromise with the flesh, we're going to be spending a lot of time sitting at the crossroads, at the intersection, and we're going to turn the wrong way a lot of times if we try to compromise any way, shape, or form. God's purpose is never to improve the flesh, educate the flesh, Christianize the flesh. God condemns the flesh. He sentenced the flesh. He crucified the flesh with Jesus Christ. That's what happened with the flesh. And so that brings me to my last point, crucified. Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him. It says is, that's past tense, and it's present tense too. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. In other words, if you're saved, the old man is there, the flesh is there, but you have the power within you, the power of the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit and to crucify the flesh daily. In other words, just reckon him dead. You know, dead man can't do much. Can't do anything. Can't do anything. Galatians 5:24 says, and all that are Christ have, that's past tense, crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. This is true believers. This is what happened. This is it. Christ not only died for me, but I died with Christ. I'm talking about self, the flesh died with Christ. Christ died for me to remove the penalty of my sin, but I died with Christ to break sin's power. Man, that's the great thing. See, I did it backwards for so many years, and so many people did. They used to tell, you know, I'd get saved, man, I was in a legalistic church, man, and I get part of it. I mean, I'd rather be legalistic than liberal, but, you know, I try to be in the middle. But, you know, it's like, man, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And I was thinking, man, alive. And it was like a burden, and I couldn't get it done, and I was finding I was always doing what I shouldn't be doing. And then do this, do this, do this. But I was trying to do it in my strength. Man, once I just realize I'm dead and it's Christ's life, man, here's what it is. Just do, it's Christ's life. Doesn't matter. Just Christ's life. Let Christ live his life in you, man, it's it. Reckon it. Believe it. Reckon also that you're alive in Christ. That's how it is. This is Christianity is Christ. It's not, you don't do it, you don't work it up, or you don't act like, it's a reality. It's Christ himself living in you. And that's the Christian life. Luke 9:23, the Bible says, if any man will, that word will, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's talking about discipleship pretty much. And he's talking to Christians because we, in our own strength, self cannot deny self. Only spirit can deny self. Reckoning on Christ, on what he's already done. So you cannot overcome the principle of sin within you, nor put your flesh to death. But you can thank Jesus that he can and that he did. He did do that. Man, if we ever get a grip on this exchanged life, nobody told me this when I was early saved. They said, man, now you're saved and do this, man. And I wasn't operating in nowhere near the Spirit. I mean, I wasn't operating in the power of the Spirit. I didn't because I didn't know it. And I hadn't reckoned it yet. Romans 6, 7, and 8, read them three chapters, 6, 7, and 8, it explains it all. It takes you from the lost to the carnal man to the man walking in the Spirit when you get to chapter 8. The Holy Spirit can make this experience real in your life and will and wants to. This is what he's trying to get you to see, what he's trying to get you to see. Victory over the flesh, the world, and the devil. You can't do it in your strength. I just can't. I can't. It's none of me. It's none of me and all of him. John said, I must decrease, he must increase. That's how it's got to be with you and I. I must increase, he must. We'll never be good enough to get to heaven. And I can prove it to you in 30 seconds. Because we know what we are. We know. You know. You know more about you than I know. God knows what you know. We're not. There's none good, no, not one. Not one. I'm not getting to heaven because I'm good. I'm not getting to heaven because I'm a preacher. If anything, it's probably hindering me. But it's not because I'm saved. You know, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Man, it's giving your life. Say, Jesus, here it is, man. I'm done. If you would surrender, I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of losing. I'm tired of having a battle going on. The thing about the battle is it's already won. It's like watching a football game rerun when you know who won at the end of the game. Man, there's no pressure, boy. You can just enjoy it. I already know who won. So we don't have to, we already know that. All you got to do is just say, man, I'm just surrendering my, because, and I try to tell people like this with the love of God. God wants the best for you. You got to believe that. Is God leading you to bad? No. If God tells you, leads you away from something, it's good. You just got to trust him for that. If God leads you to an impossibility, when with God there's no impossibility, listen, I'm going to tell you something. It's when God leads you there, he's going to get you through. He got them to the Red Sea. It looked impossible. Man, but here it was, man. There they were. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they was crying and whining. God said, man, no problem, man. Talk to Moses, man. The sea part of they went through. Man, it looked, in your life, it's the same way. But we always doubt and we wonder and we worry. What if? Oh, I can't do it. I can't do it. No, you can't do it. Let me tell you that right now. I've had people, you try to lead them to the Lord. Well, I just don't, I'm afraid I won't be able to do this and I won't be able to do that. You won't. You got to let Christ do it. And when he comes into your life, it's a new life. Man, it's a new deal. And man, that is what Christianity is all about right there. When we go from last week to this week, that exchange life, it's the life of Christ. Huh? We still got a will. We still got the old nature. But listen, the old nature is pulling at the will, and the new nature is too. But we've got the power, man, to say no and follow Christ. And if we're dead, and if we have died to Christ like we should have, and he's living in our life, guess what he's going to do? What did he do when he walked on the earth? I always do that which my Father commands me. It's I always do my Father's will. I always do my Father's will. No doubt. Always did it right there. So listen, maybe you're at a crossroads in your life. I got to that crossroads, my first crossroads, 1987 on August the 20th. Ironically, that's coming up. I'll be preaching a homecoming in Central Baptist Church. I was saved on August 20th in 1987. In 2003, on August 20th, my mom passed away. Something about August 20th. I don't know what's going to happen on August 20th. But somebody talked to me about Jesus, talked to me about being a sinner. Asked me this one question, have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins and come into your life? And I said, no, I haven't. I always believed in him. I believed there was a Jesus. I knew there was a God. I wasn't an atheist. And I said, he said, well, man, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart. I said, that's what I need to do. I need to ask Jesus to forgive me. I mean, I didn't know, man. I was an old dope head. You guys know that. I didn't know how. I had a lot of baggage. How's God going to deal with it? How's he going to take care of all this? That's his department. It's not yours. You just say, Lord, here it is, man. I surrender all, man. I said, Jesus, I just got down on my knees and a fellow led me along there, asked Jesus to come into my heart to save me, forgive me of my sins. I didn't know what God was going to do with me. I'd have never dreamed in a million years. Now, don't get in a panic and think if you get saved, God's going to make a preacher out of you. He may or he may not. But I'm telling you, man, I didn't know what God would do with my life. I just had to trust him. Just had to trust him. Boy, thank God, I look back what he took me out of and what he brought me to. Whew, man, wouldn't trade it for nothing. All the gold in the world. What would a man give in exchange for his soul? Everything. Everything he ever had, everything he could steal, you'd give in exchange for your soul. It's worth every minute, every second of my life. Been struggle? Sure. Been hardship? Yeah. Learning? Yeah. You know, failure? Whew. But God's got me through it all, man. That's it. Jesus Christ, man, God loves you. He sent his son to die for you so that we could have a forgiveness of our sins, be delivered from the power of sin, be saved from not only what we've done, but what we are. Huh? Amen? Amen. Let's all